Welcome to the next chapter of As the Story Grows. I'm Brian Patton. Today I'm stoked to share my chat with Dead Tired guitarist Franz Stefanik. Dead Tired is the side project of Alexis on Fire frontman George Pettit. Dead Tired released Satan Will Follow You Home back on July 8th via New Damage Records. Franz talks about going to hardcore shows in Buffalo, getting into tattooing, the meaning behind Satan Will Follow You Home, and listening to albums as a whole. I hope you enjoy the clips you hear in this episode, but I really hope you'll click on the album link in the show notes and spend 40 minutes with Satan Will Follow You Home. Stick around after the interview with Franz to hear a review of the new Chat Pile record, God's Country. Trying something new this week. Enjoy today's conversation with Franz Stefanik of Dead Tired. Really dig it. I love like getting to discover a band and then going backwards and hearing the evolution.
Cool.
Because I sometimes people like get attached to like the old sound and listen to new stuff and they're like, oh, they fucking changed. And I'm just
Like,
it's way better to be like, oh, this is cool. Where did they come from? And so like it's rad to see the progression musically.
We kind of like switched it up a bit. Like with the newer stuff, I mean, even the progress of it, it's almost like jumping eras of the sound of like, you know, from like an 80s hardcore record to more modern.
Yeah. I was like not shocked, but like taken aback listening to the self-titled debut and being like, oh, this is like really raw, like old school hardcore.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Did the pandemic influence the shift in sound at all? Was it just more time to write or?
Yeah, I even just think with progression of like how we digest and enjoy music and like enjoying our instruments. I don't know. It's like, why not utilize sound? And I don't know. It's fun doing different eras of like music and from like simple to a little bit more complex. And then I'm super into like guitars and pedals and amps. And then I'm like, why don't we just like start showcasing what we like doing?
Yeah. It's like, hitting the distortion on and just like playing as fast as you can is fun, but once you get into effects it's like we could do some really trippy weird shit.
There's like it's a wormhole. I mean, like never ending, like post offices bringing pedals like every week to my house.
That's awesome. That's rad. What was the growing up like for you?
Originally like musically or just in general?
Just in general.
I mean, I grew up, was born here in Hamilton, and then my parents moved out Niagara way when I was like grade one, which was only about like an hour or so from Hamilton. And then I didn't really have much like musical influence from my parents. My parents are more into like Broadway musicals and show tunes and all that kind of stuff. So I think once I kind of hit like this cusp of like finding music, then that's kind of what I'd like dove into at it like a pretty early age. Like I think maybe like grade five I was like starting to get into music pretty hard.
What were those records or bands that got you into it?
I bought Green Day Dookie on tape at That's Entertainment in St. Catharines, which is actually, I think it recently went out of business. It was like used they had movies and CDs and tapes, and like you kind of just have to like flip through everything there. It was a really wild store.
Is that what made you want to play guitar?
Well, originally I like was in piano. Okay. That was something my parents were like, hey, you got to take piano lessons. And me being a kid, I was just like, you do what your parents say. And I hated it at first. And then I had the opportunity and I learned how to play saxophone. And then that once I hit like kind of high school age, then I was like, dude, I got to play the guitar. Like,
Yeah.
It seemed like the obvious choice, like, you know, from playing piano to saxophone. I was in like one of those orchestra bands. And then once you get introduced to like seeing a live band play, you're like, I want to be the guitar player. Like, that would be really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Was there a scene up there? I don't know if you were in Toronto still at that point, but like, was there a scene for you to dive into?
Yeah, was really fortunate with like the Niagara music scene, especially in the early 2000s. And I mean, I was even going to shows when I was still in public school in like Buffalo. So I saw like the early eras of like Every Time I Die, and there was bands like Snapcase and all that kind of stuff. And I was literally a child, like going to all those shows. And luckily I had an older sister who had cool friends, and for some reason they liked me. It's like, you know, the younger brother, and they, you know, we'd hop in the Chevy Lumina and go to Buffalo and go to hardcore shows. And then even the Niagara music scene was crazy. Like, local bands would play like these Mason Halls or like Legions. And like, you know, there's like 400 or 500 kids.
Yeah.
At just like local shows without touring bands. And we're really fortunate to have that in the early eras of like Niagara music. And then, I mean, with Alexis, they were part of that, and they kind of boosted that whole scene as well.
Yeah.
Here is an answer from an Alexa Answers contributor that I trust.
Question. I think we're getting picked up by all the other AI in the house.
That's so funny. That's fucking great. We won't mention that band by name anymore.
Yeah, totally.
At what point did you start playing in bands?
I played in bands throughout high school, just like, you know, talent shows, and then started jamming. And then the end era of high school was I played in like a metal band, and then that's when I started getting introduced into tattooing. So I mostly, once I had the opportunity to tattoo, I kind of shift more from music to tattooing.
Yeah.
And then started playing music again the past like 10 years.
That's cool. Yeah, I was going to ask, did art kind of go hand in hand? Were you always interested in art, or was that something that came with tattoos?
It was totally like, one of those things where, you know, it was, they kind of fell hand in hand. And then as you start going to shows, like, you're exposed to tattoos and art, and like even picking up like records and like merch and all that kind of stuff. It played a big influence into it. And it was kind of just absorbed it all like a sponge, especially when I was a kid. Like, when you go from seeing nothing, and even the era of like it wasn't pre-internet, but internet was still pretty like, you know,
sparse.
So it's like I just would like that, like, sponge everything I could think of, and like whether it was music or art, and I just wanted it all. Like, I was like, this is sick.
Yeah. What drew you into kind of the traditional and Japanese style of tattooing?
I think once I got into tattooing, like going from like not knowing anything about it to like, you just see the cool fundamentals. It's like the same thing that kind of draws you into like certain kind of styles of music is, it's cool. Like, you see all these crazy prog bands and like shredders and all that kind of stuff, but something about like stripped down music with like just raw energy and like, you know, it just does it for me.
Yeah.
But I think like even the way that my art style and the way that I enjoy and digest music is like really similar. And like in the early days, it was more like kind of simple. And then kind of as you like progress both musically and artistically, you like to incorporate little elements of technicality, but like, I don't like things that are like too, you know, like over the top.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a, something classic and unique about it. I stumbled across your, I guess, a profile of your artwork, and it's really dope. So,
oh, thanks. Yeah, cheers.
Yeah. I know you've done all the artwork for Dead Tired, and you did the most recent Cancer Bat record. Are there any other albums you've done artwork for?
I always try and keep, like, especially with like a heavy workload of tattooing, like my spare time is like pretty limited, so I only ever usually do like artwork for friends, or I know where it's going to be like stress-free. Sometimes when a band like if a band like hires you on to do artwork for it, there's lots of back and forth, and yeah, like it can be quite the process. And obviously, you know, you want to respect what they want, but the way that I do everything, it's literally like pen and paper. Like I've tried to do the digital route. I'm not against it, but I'm just like, I'm total just like stuck on this, like, you know, sheet of paper kind of thing. And like, if you do, you spend like hours doing artwork and you know, send it to someone and they want to do edits, it's like, well, you literally have to redo it.
Yeah.
So it's nice when it's like, even the guys in the band, I was like, hey, do you guys have suggestions for what you want in the artwork? And they're like, you're the art dude, so just do the art.
Yeah.
So it makes it really stress-free. And then same with the dudes in the bats. Like, they asked me to do the one thing for them, and it was just like kind of, hey, here's this. And they're like, rad, cool, let's keep that. Like, pretty easy going.
Yeah, I like how DIY that style of art and approaches is just like, you're the tattoo artist, you do our artwork. Like,
yeah. And it's kind of nice too. It does have like a formality, especially to the band. Like, if you start letting other people use your kind of style of artwork, I think would kind of take from like the consistency and like the artwork that kind of like captures the vibe of the band.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a special thing where it's like, yeah, we're the only bands with this artwork because we don't offer it to everyone.
Yeah. 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 Thematically, it ties all the EPs and records together.
Yeah.
And those, but sonically and musically, they're very different.
Totally. But if I wasn't tattooing, I mean, I would be hustling and I would be doing artwork for anyone who wanted it. Like, you know, it's like,
yeah,
it's just, I have the really nice outlet of having a full-time job and then this escape to do whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Did the pandemic impact your tattooing at all?
Yeah, it was brutal. I mean, I've been mostly just tattooing all my life. Like, I'm 34. I've been tattooing over 14 years, like full time, not to mention like the apprenticeship stage. So it's like, it was weird because it was just like, no, I've never not had like income or a job.
Yeah.
Or literally something to do. And then it's just like, oh shit, look at all this time. Like, yeah, now what? So you got to figure out what to shift to and, you know, what to do, literally just to occupy the days, like,
yeah,
take the day by day.
Yeah. I know my tattoo artist down here, he ended up having to work at like a grocery store just like, cause there were 6 months where he couldn't operate.
Yeah. I mean, I think like, collectively here in Ontario, like it was like close to a year and a half, like total time.
Damn.
We'd be able to go to work for like a month and then back off for like 4 or 5 months, you know? So it was weird, but I just painted.
Yeah.
And did art and wrote music, and that was pretty much the length of it. And then here we are now.
How did Dead Tired get started?
Originally, back in the day, it was just like kind of, we were at a friend's birthday party, and we're at a bowling alley here in Hamilton called Martin's, which unfortunately is no longer open. They tore it down. And we're all standing around, and it was kind of like, hey, you know, you play drums, you play guitar, like, you know, hey, you sing, why don't we just like get together and jam? And it was very like loose at first, and there wasn't much thought put into it. And even the, like the current Dead Tired lineup compared to like the first one, me and George are like the only two from the first lineup.
Yeah.
So like, in that also affected, like, you know, with the progression of how things sound too.
Yeah. Gotcha. How'd you come up with the name of the band?
I think that was maybe George.
Yeah.
I think we're tossing around ideas, and then it was just, I don't know, like we're in our old drummer's basement, and then he was like, yeah, let's just roll with this. And then it was just like, all right, yeah, sure.
Nice. Rad. How'd you guys team up with new damage?
George had a previous relationship with like Dynalone. New Damage is like a sub company, or you know, like a they're all part of the same thing. So
yeah,
that he was just like, oh, I'll flick them a message and see if they're interested in putting out a record if we record one. Because at one point we're like, are we jamming? Are we just having fun? Do we put out a record? And then we ended up like scraping a bunch of songs together over the course of a couple of band practices. And that's how the first one came to be. And that's kind of the raw integrity of it, was like, we didn't think much of the songs, and then they ended up wanting to put it out anyway. So
this new record, Satan Will Follow You Home, where'd that name come from?
That was actually, it was based off of a dream that George had. He was like, there's this old asylum here in Hamilton on the mountain. And George was like, I think he was walking his dog. He walks his dog around there regularly. And he had like this crazy dream where he was going for a walk past it, and then like these like two witches emerged, and like one drank like this goblet of blood, and then like there was like this demon that kind of like summoned from like this blood drinking thing that he like thought of, and then he got like all freaked out, and I guess he like went back home because, you know, he's like, fuck, I gotta go back to my wife and kids and all that kind of stuff. And then when he got home, there, like Satan was there, like he followed him and was waiting for him outside.
Shit.
And then I guess he woke up, and then he was like, well, that is like crazy dream. And then took his dog for a walk, and then on randomly there was this big graffiti, like it's on the back of the record, and it just says Satan Will Follow You Home. So he snapped a photo of it with his cell phone. He told us the story. He's like, yo, this is crazy. And then we got our bass player, he does photography. So he went up and took a nice photo of the graffiti. And then we're like, why don't we just like base a song around that? So there is a track on the record, like the Satan Will Follow You Home, that, you know, kind of tells the story of like the dream, I guess.
Okay. I'll have to go back and listen again and see if I can pick that out in the lyrics.
Yeah.
I've just had it on the background. Did I know Canada was shut down for a while, and I think you guys were even more tightly locked down than we were here in the States. Like, did that affect getting together to write and record, or were you just like sending files over, you know, the cloud like everybody?
It got super weird. I mean, we're very fortunate. Like, even the way that the band functions is like, we all live in Hamilton. We're all a stone throw away, and we all like, we hang out more as friends in a band. So that was like, when that was kind of taken away, we were kind of like, yo, should we hang out? And then everyone's like, I don't know. Like, I don't know, especially the early stages of it. It was like, shit was really weird. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then it was one of those things where it's like, when your weekly hangouts with your friends get stripped out and like jamming, like we were doing a lot of writing at home. Like I was playing between painting. It was either doing that or playing guitar. And then things loosened up a bit. And then we got together a handful of times to have some like in-person jams. And then stuff got really locked down here. They even did like this like crazy stay at home order where like police were like pulling people over and shit like that if you're going out. And then that's when we decided we should record a record. So it was weird. Because like it was me and the other guitar player, because we did it all ourselves, and we were like sneaking to the studio. It was just me and him at this point, because even the other guys, like George is a firefighter, and he was like, yo, I don't want to get in the mix. He's like, I'm exposed to lots of people. And like our bass player was like, I'm gonna hold off a little bit. And then we got rid of our drummer during it, so it was just me and the other guitar player. And we're like, well, it's the two of us, so you know, we'll go to the studio and we'll start doing this.
Yeah.
And then we kind of like track stuff either remotely, like me and him, and then it was really weird, but not the best time to record a record, because normally you should just be like, hey, yo, let's all go to the studio and hang out and have fun. But it was also a nice distraction, because like, I don't know what else we would have done, like out of sheer boredom. So
yeah,
it's good to do stuff. And once we were in there, like, you know, we're like, all right, this feels good. Just, it was kind of our escape from reality.
Yeah. With George releasing a record this week and then this one coming out in 2 weeks, is it tough to try to plan like stuff for this band, or is this just like an album only project? Are you hoping to tour this year?
Well, it's funny enough. It's like I went and I literally bought like the 6-foot dry erase calendar, like for the whole year. Like it's huge. And we hung it in our Dead Tired has like a studio, and we hung it in there, and like we've started Xing out availability. But it's nice because there is pockets of like, all right, we can maybe like scrape up some shows here. And we're really fortunate to like, I don't know, we have friends who run venues and stuff, so we can do stuff pretty DIY. Anytime we've done Hamilton hometown shows, I've put the show on, and it's kind of nice to be able to do that. And then we also do have some stuff planned, you know, like some bigger shows that do require more time and planning, but it's not going to be as heavy, you know, because Alexis is doing their thing. And then, but we all enjoy it so much that it is a priority to make sure we get together and have a night with like playing as a band, and we enjoy doing it. It's fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Were there any like lyrical themes that George or you guys wanted to tackle or get across on this album?
George, he always is the man with the plan. That we kind of let him do his thing. Like even in the studio, he always asks for suggestions, but we're like seeing that guy lay down tracks, it's like, shit, you've done this. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, he's so militant. And that's when you start realizing, like when you hang out with a friend so casually, and yeah, you're aware that he plays these huge, crazy shows. And then when you see him in performance mode, especially in the studio, it's like, you just don't question what he does. You're like, yeah, that's rad. And then like a lot of his lyrics, it's very like thought out. We always try to include all the lyrics in with the record. And there's some songs on this record, that touch base on, you know, current affairs. And it's a little all over the place, but it's all well put together. And I find even being in the band, once I read the lyrics, it like kind of sculpts the song a little differently than what I would expect. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, it's cool.
Going with Domestic as like the first video lead single from this record, were you trying to showcase like that different side of your sound that you're bringing?
Yeah. Like I think the plan was to like throw a little bit of a curveball for people to know that we're up to something new. And then the two other songs that we kind of put out, they're similar to kind of what we were doing, but they're still a little different. And then, given the rest of the record, you know, there's some valleys of like, you know, some slower songs and like more like jammier songs. And then even like in like Tyrants, it's like a kind of a sweet binding of like the Domestic sound with the old sound. Like there's a little bit of harmony in there. There's a bit of clean vocals, but it's still rhythmic. And so it was kind of nice to introduce where we're going with the band gradually, rather than just be like, yo, this is totally different.
Yeah.
You know, here's a little bit of what you're familiar with, but with a little bit more cojones to it. And then, yeah. you know, and then, but still something to look forward to in the record. Cause then when you listen to it, you're like, oh shit, it's not just the same pace.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I heard Domestic and I was like, yeah, it's cool, but it's not really my thing. And then I got sent the record and I hit play and I was like, oh shit, no, I really like this a lot. And like, it's so funny how like certain singles like will not connect with you, but when you listen to them in the context of the record, you're like, yeah, that works a lot better for me.
Yeah. And like, it's even weird how people digest and release music now. Like, yeah. I was just like, let's just wait and put the whole record out. Like, boom. Yeah. But I guess that's not the way stuff works now. Like, you know what I mean? It's you have to do things in waves and you have to like, you know, it's not just like, because people, the way people digest a whole record is you put all this time and energy into it and it's either they like it or they don't.
Yeah.
Whereas if you do these things in stages, it kind of warms people up into listening to the whole record. And, you know, it's, I get why they do it, but it's like when you write the record and also when you decide where the songs go, especially if you've listened to the last record or the record we're putting out, it's like, it's curated kind of like a roller coaster of wave and it's intentional to listen to in full, like not sync.
It's wild to me how many like bands or albums where I've heard the single and I've been like, I'm not feeling the single. And then I'll hear the record and I'll be like, no, I really like this band actually.
Yeah, totally.
And this is one of those where I was like, yeah, Domestic is fine, but I'm not into it. And then hearing the record, I was like, okay, I get what they're doing. And I like this a lot as a whole painting.
Yeah, because that song is almost like a cool down after, you know, the record pumps forward. You know, it's like you need a little bit of relief to end it.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's weird, yeah, putting stuff out individually, but you know, you do it. And
yeah, it's the way it works. And there are people who listen and digest music like that. And there are old people like me who still buy cassette tapes. So
yeah, I'm the same way too. When I hear like a new single of a band I really like, it's like, I almost resist listening to it. Cause I'm like, I don't want any, like, I don't want to imagine what I think the rest sounds like, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like Norma Jean just put out their new single. And I'm like, I don't really like this, but I always like the back half of their records more than the front half anyway. So I'm just going to wait and pass judgment later.
And then it's nice. Like I like, especially with tattooing, it's like, I'll go to the shop and I'm like an anti playlist guy. Like I like listening to full records.
Yep.
And it's nice having a job where no one tells you what you can and can't listen to. And like, I enjoy listening to full records. Cause to me, that's how they're intended. And as soon as records come out, it's like the poor guy who works with me, it's just like, I burn them to the ground. I'm just like, yep, we're listening to it again. Like, let's do this. Like, and it's nice when records hit like that too. Stoked to finally get it out there. It's been a long time coming and it's like, it's nice for it to see the light of day. And we got probably like 8 new ones, so it's like ready to just continue just jamming, write music. And then we got some shows coming up. It'll be nice to play live again and see what opportunities the record brings, and maybe we can play, you know, outside of wherever we're our normal like comfort zone, you know.
Huge thanks to Franz Stefanik for hanging out and chatting with me. The Dead Tired record, Satan Will Follow You Home, is excellent. Go check it out now on Bandcamp. There will be a link in the show notes, as well as you can pick it up on physical media if you choose to do so. Check out Franz's awesome tattoo work, also a link in the show notes. Now let's talk about Chat Pile's God's Country. In 2011, I took an art trip to Berlin, We spent a few days wandering the city with a set of guides talking about social issues like homelessness, violence, prostitution, and income inequality that still exist between East and West Berlin. And then we took those experiences and observations and created art, songs, photographs, mixed media, etc. And that's what God's Country is. It's an art piece about the state of America. And to truly appreciate the piece of art, you have to take it in full as the band intended. Records are experiences. In these days of playlists and streaming on shuffle, it can be easy to miss the experience as an artist intended it, especially when that experience is a sonic journey not meant to be shuffled or playlisted. God's Country is part sludge metal, part Pixies, part noise rock, spoken word, but at its heart, it is pure art. The album is a mirror being held up to showcase the basic social and moral failings of a nation whose Declaration of Independence declares all men are created equal while treating humanity as an expendable commodity. From Black Lives Matter's protests to fighting against COVID restrictions and letting mass shootings continue to happen without a hint of change, it's not a stretch to see why Chatpile would view the world around us and deliver a scathing statement. The concept truly shines on the album's second track, Why. The band's frustration mounts as the lyrics hit with lines like, "Why do people have to live outside, in tents, under bridges, living with nothing and horribly suffering? Why? Why do people have to live outside? We have the resources, we have the means." With each passing phrase, Reagan Bush is more and more frustrated and aggravated at the thought that we let homelessness exist and that his question of why goes unanswered. Slaughterhouse opens the record, and it hits in the same way that Bone Machine opened Surfer Rosa, if the Pixies were a black metal band. Chatpile doesn't just hit you over the head with aggression, though. They balance the intensity with beauty. After the frustrating sounds of why, the band hits you with a wall of shoegaze guitar on Pamela. But the vocals are spoken word, and even with a more relaxed vibe on the intro, there's an unnerving feeling on the chorus as Bush sings, "So I stare at the lake, biding my time, waiting to die." It's those moments that stand out as touch points on the record, moments where you pause the album, hit rewind, and make sure you have the lyrics out to see what the song's about. Anywhere sounds like a lost Pixies B-side, upbeat and poppy, but the lyrics are about the aftermath of a shooting and losing a loved one. The album's closer seems to be about the struggle of drug addiction, continuing to go deeper and deeper to the point you no longer want to live. The album opens with the struggle of how hard life is, and ends with what started as an escape, leading to wanting to be done with living. The lyrical concept is not for the faint of heart. It's raw, but powerful. What God's Country is, through and through, is art. It's taking all your observations and thoughts and frustration and giving them a voice. God's Country is nothing but a mirror. It's not offering a solution or even saying that this is wrong. It's just saying that this is the way it is. There are moments where Chatpile wears their influences on their sleeves and moments of musical chaos that really help hone in on the themes of dysfunction. The highest praise I can give God's Country is that when the album ended, I immediately hit play again because I wanted more. It's not the easiest and most appealing record you'll hear this year, but sticking with it and listening to it front to back will be worthwhile and satisfying. Thanks for listening to As the Story Grows. Our intro music was written and composed by Jeremy Hunt. The As the Story Grows theme is by Bob Nana. If you like what you hear, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and give us a rating and review. If you'd like to support the show financially, you can join us at patreon.com/asthestorygrows. Be a part of our community and join the ongoing conversation over on Discord. If you enjoy this episode, share it on social media with your friends. Much appreciated, and thanks for listening. Oh, no.